I want to read tonight in Genesis chapter 4. Book of Genesis chapter 4. Verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me in the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When it tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. One more scripture, please, in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's that last clause I'm thinking of mostly. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In Genesis chapter 4, we're brought before us the first two men that were born into this world. Adam and Eve came from the hand of God. They were perfect to start with, but sin was found in them. It was only an act of disobedience, and many would say, what's wrong with that? Because we're living in a world now of people, we're getting so accustomed to the vile things that's happening in the world. What is the sin of disobedience? That's not so much. But don't you see, when you come to Ephesians chapter 2, you find God charges the whole world, those that are not saved, living in a place where, under the children of disobedience, under the crowned head. I want you to think for a few minutes tonight about these two men, Cain and Abel. There came a time in their experience when they realized they weren't right, or seemingly so. There must have been something that made them come together and realize they wanted to bring an offering unto the Lord. Seems to me that somewhere along life's journey, for every individual, there comes a moment when God begins to deal with that individual. Maybe they don't recognize it, and oftentimes would shrug it off. However, I don't think there will be a person that will ever be in hell but what had a chance to turn. Whatever way it is that God would speak to them, that's known to God himself. However, we have these two young men, born into a godly home, father, mother saved, yes, and born again. Because if they're not born again, they'll never be in heaven. These two young men, it says that Cain brought of the first fruits of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel, he also brought an offering. His offering was of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. The fat being God's portion, he realized that God had to be satisfied with it. So he brings a little offering, he brings an animal, and he puts it on the altar. Now I just want for a moment just to look at this. Let's say that here's Cain's offering over here on the altar. We'll cut out a lot of stuff, but he has built an altar. He's put the fruit of the ground upon it. A lot of hard work has gone into it. And I'm sure there's no scabby potatoes, if there was any potatoes. I'm sure that there was nothing that was of a lesser degree of quality. Everything would be the very best, because he's bringing an offering to the Lord. He puts his offering there upon that altar. Now look over here for a minute. Here's Cain, or Abel, and he's built an altar. He's put a little animal on it. He shed its blood, and now the blood has run out over that altar, and the little animal has died. So they both brought an offering unto the Lord. Seems to me with this man Cain, he doesn't recognize the fact that he needs a death to put away his sin. Seems to me he's just bringing an offering like so many people in the world today, and that is, they say, well, I have a good life. We were having meetings on the island, and there was a woman coming every night for about 2 weeks, and then she stopped coming. We went to see her. Mr. Ramsey said, how come you haven't been out this last few nights? Oh, she said, I'm not going back to those meetings. He said, well, why? She said, you're up there every night. You're up there every night saying, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born. And you're bawling that out every night. You must be born again. Now she says, I've been a good woman. I've been a good wife to my husband. I have been a good mother to the children. I have taught Sunday school. I'm a member of the church. She said, if you asked me if I was converted, I would say so. If you asked me if I was religious, I could tell you so. But she says, it's born again. I don't understand it. And I'm just putting it out of my mind altogether. They tell me, I don't know if it's true or not, but they tell me the ostrich will drive its head in the sand when the hunters begin to surround it as if it doesn't want to see its danger. And there's so many people in the world today, and when they come to God realizing, I have a need, but they figure that their good works, or their prayers, their almsgiving, something that they have done, and there's some people, and my, they are good people, no doubt about it. There's people that give their money to the good cause. There's people that will take strangers in and help them in their dire need. There's people that would do nearly anything. But when it comes to salvation, that has absolutely nothing to do with getting a person to heaven. But Cain thinks, all this, God will have to accept. Here's a young man. He realizes I'm a sinner. And he realizes God has said, death for sin. So that means I need a substitute. So he brings an animal. He puts it there. Now watch. They're both standing by here, and they're waiting to see if God will accept them. How will they know? Well, in the Old Testament, God would send fire down upon a sacrifice and accept if he accepted. And so they're standing by. I want to say something before I go any further. Where do you think the fire should have fallen? I'm stopping purposely. Let that run through your mind for a minute. Two men, both sinners, one no better than the other. One has an offering to God of the best, the first fruits, the very best of the ground. His hard work is being shown here. Here's a young man, and he only has a little animal and blood running over the altar. Where should it have fallen? I suggest to you that the fire should have fallen on both of them. For the simple reason, they're the ones that sinned. They're the ones that's against God. They're the ones that have sinned against the God. That little animal didn't sin. They should have recognized, and I believe Abel did recognize it. I need a substitute. I see again, if the fire had fallen where it deserved to fall, they both would have fallen dead in a moment. But it didn't fall there. Thank God. This is the grace of God coming in. Where did it fall? Is God going to accept all the best fruits of the ground? It's cursed. Is he going to accept a little animal? A little lamb? Bloodshed? And the fire falls from heaven and it consumes the sacrifice. Right away Abel knows, I'm accepted. I'm accepted. How was he accepted? In the substitute. God comes to Cain afterwards because Cain was mad. And I'll tell you, there's an awful lot of people get aroused and get stirred up and get mad. And some of them, one fellow went out and he says, I would like to. Just because we're telling the truth. People get caught. There's no need to get mad at us. This man got mad at God. And God comes back to him and says, Cain, why are you wroth? Why are you mad? If you had done the right thing, you would have been accepted. But here's where the grace of God comes in further. God brought the offering right to his door. Right to his tent. He said, Cain, there's a sin line at your door. Which means two things. There's a sin offering I brought right to your door. Unto thee shall be his desire. He wants to go with you. He's voluntarily willing to go with you. Thou shalt rule over him. You can take him. That's one thing. If you don't pay, sin lies at your door. I want to say emphatically tonight, and yet with carefulness and with tenderness, my dear friend, if you will not accept God's plan of salvation, if you will not accept what God has provided, bringing the sacrifice right to your door, there's somebody in your house that's saved. And you look back and you remember when they got saved. Or maybe your father and mother saved long before that again. You've seen it come right to your door. And you could be accepted as well. There's not a person inside these four walls tonight, but could be accepted. The whole thing is, are you willing to accept God's plan of salvation? He says, you would be accepted. Now you think, well, after all, that's not hard for me to do. The animal's here. God has brought it to my tent door. It desires to go to me with me. I can rule over it. Well, I'll take the little lamb and I'll go and I'll offer it instead. That would be wise thinking, wouldn't it? Oh, the deceitfulness. This person. I have no doubt in my mind that when God spoke to him and told him that, and God could go no further, I have no doubt in my mind in the other ear the devil saying, oh, it'll sometime later on. Oh, that's not the way. And you're good enough in yourself. And he puts his self-righteousness in his pocket and he says, I'm all right the way I am. And he goes out. And he actually steps over the sacrifice that God has brought. And he goes out. And he kills his brother. He's mad at God. He can't get at God, but he can get at God's man. And this is what he would like to do with God, but he can't touch him. So he kills God's man. The human heart. So somebody to me think, well, that would never, I would never do that. I would never go that low. You don't know what you would do until the circumstances arose. Neither do I. Neither do I. 63 years on the way to heaven, I still don't know what I could do. Mr. Scott wrote to me when he was well on the way. I think he said he was over 60 years in Christ, and he says, I'm still asking God not to let me die a wicked old man. Yet somebody will say, oh, I would never do that. We don't know what we do when the circumstances arise. But here's Cain, and he has taken the wrong attitude, and he won't have God's sacrifice. He goes out and kills his brother, and God comes back again. He says, Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Imagine talking to God as if God didn't know, as if he figured God doesn't know what happened. He probably buried him somewhere out in the field. Does God know? I want to say again tonight, God knows every thought that crosses every mind every day. And they're all written down, even the thoughts before the actions. So friend, in this meeting tonight, don't think for one moment that anything that's going through your mind is just there and nobody knows about it. God knows the whole thing from start to finish, and it's all in the books. What a day that will be at the great white throne, and begins to open the books, and the whole thing is brought out, and people will have to, the memory will be charged, and the memory will be brightened to the point as God points it out. To somebody that'll take a long time. Certainly it will. Who said it wouldn't? Time is gone. This is eternity. It took months for the people over there in Jerusalem or wherever it was to take the case of Eichmann. Took months. Eternity has no time, and so God will go into heaven. How do you know? Go back to Revelation chapter 20. They shall be judged according to their works. And I'm going to say again tonight, I know the man meant well, but he said, if you're not going to get saved, he said some people, he said, if you're not going to get saved, lay the reins on the neck of the devil and drive to the devil. It's the only heaven you'll ever have. I wouldn't say that, because listen, every swear word is going down, and there's judgment for it. Every idle word is going down. Every evil thought is going down. Your very dreams will tell you you're a sinner. And they're all there displayed in the books. And they'll all be opened. And all exposed to the sinner. What a moment that will be. But God says to Cain, he says, because thou hast done this. You know, he lost something more. He was priding himself in the ground. He was priding himself in the work that he's gotten from, but even that was taken from him. It shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight, and you're thinking, oh, I would get saved, but. And one man said, I would get saved, I would like to be saved. And he says, I can see just like an apple on a tree. Somebody said, why not? He was a lobster poacher, if you know what that is. He says, I couldn't be saved and do that. And so he says, I can't live without doing that. So he says, I can't get saved. And he died choking on a lobster at an early age. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So God says to him, it'll not till the ground anymore. And the result was that Cain had to say, my punishment is greater than I can bear. What he was really saying, my sin is greater than can be forgiven. Why could God not forgive his sin now? Because he turned down God's way of salvation. And I want to tell you again, according to the Hebrews, the person that won't have God's salvation, there's no other sacrifice. God has provided a sacrifice in the person of his Son, and there's no other. And if you turn down God's way of salvation, God's Son is the Savior, there's no other sacrifice for sin. But I just want you to go for a minute to the close of the meeting, while I'm up here. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute. we're accepted in the beloved. Abel, how was he accepted? He was accepted in that little animal that took his place. In other words, there was another that took his place, and God accepted him on the grounds of that. Now, he accepted him on the grounds of the Lord Jesus, but this is just a little objectness. Of course, I believe King Abel was saved before that. He's bringing an ascending offering to the Lord. However, whatever the case may be, he realizes, I need a substitute, and here it is, and God accepted it. Listen, the reason why I can see I'm going to heaven, and I can be sure of it, the Bible tells me so, because I'm accepted in another. It's not because I had a great lot of faith. And more so, it's not my believing either. Now don't look at me so shocked. It's about time some people got shocked. Because there's not a lot of people thinking of, if I could just believe hard enough, if I could just believe, if I just had enough faith and so on. Forget about your faith. Forget about yourself. Get occupied with what God has done at the cross of Calvary. And if you can see, He was there in your room instead. You can be accepted in Him. Because as I said last night, I'm going to say again tonight, God's not looking at me. I'm glad He's not. He would be disappointed every hour of every day. No, He's not looking at me. He's looking at His Son. And He's accepting me in His Son. Can't you see that? If I hadn't been saved before, I could save right now. Because it's all in a substitute. Abel was accepted in his substitute. But I don't bring a lamb. God doesn't ask me to. Because He brought His lamb. And He took him to Calvary. And He poured on him the iniquity of us all. And now, I'm accepted in Him. God is just saying to me in John 3:16, oh, it was so simple. And you know, the night that God saved me, I forgot all about believing altogether. But I did believe it. But I forgot all about it. And it just struck me. That's the reason why Jesus died on the cross. He died for me. And because I take this message in and receive it, God says, I'll accept you in the person of Him. He's looking at Christ. I'm looking at Him. And we're one together. Friend, in this meeting, it's so simple. That's what you're stumbling over. If there's somebody here tonight, your brow is furrowed and you're trying to figure it. Listen, you might as well stop figuring. You can't figure out God's love and God's grace. It's an impossibility. I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. Beyond my little intelligence. To understand why the living God who made the world made everything. And made man to begin with. Why would He send His Son all the way to planet Earth? Down through that maze of stars and planets. If He wanted more angels, He could have worshipped, He had more to worship them. If He wanted more planets, He could have had more. He could have had peoples on every planet and singing from one planet to the other so the very heavens above us could have been forever a note of praise to God. God so loved the world. It's amazing. Beyond me. I don't understand it. And don't you think for one moment you can figure this out. It's beyond figuring. And the love of God is beyond the intelligence of man. But from this book, I take it. And I'm going to say something as I sit down. If it wasn't in that book, I would not believe it. I'm skeptical. The reason why I'm skeptical is because these big boys that say a skull that's come so far, it's so many millions of years old. And then another one of these big boys, whatever they call them, scientists or whatever. And they'll look at it, oh no, that's only a million and a half years. And then another one bring them down to 300,000. I'm skeptical. When I come to this book, and I'm going to say something more. If that book fails,
Every one of us in this meeting will be in hellfire because that's what we deserve. Me along with you. But I know I'm not going to be there. For the simple reason. God tells me. The ruler of the universe tells me. The God of heaven tells me that I'm accepted in his Son. Because I've taken him